This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, January 17th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas. Support for KUAF comes from Pilates Plus, offering Pilates mat and equipment classes, plus private instruction with comprehensively trained instructors. Massage and the Pole Place Fitness Studio are also available. More information can be found at PilatesPlusNWA.com or by calling 287-4519.
Later on this edition of Ozarks, the University of Arkansas Fort Smith has a book it wants you to read. The third installment of the UAFS Read This program begins later this month.
And the things people collect. Last weekend, dozens of collectors showed off thousands of their things at the Cabin Fever Reliever at Shiloh Museum in Springdale. From accordions to pottery, the collections were on display for one day only.
First, there's broad speculation about an economic development project that Governor Mike Beebe hinted will be the biggest project the state has ever seen. Although details are still somewhat of a mystery, the Arkansas Economic Development Commission Director, Grant Tenniel, in an interview with Talk Business, says he is confident they will soon be back to the legislature concerning Amendment 82, which is the state's super project amendment. And it allows general obligation bonds to be issued to finance infrastructure for large-scale industrial projects meeting certain spending and employment thresholds.
I've spoken enough that I think a number of people know that we are in the running for an advanced manufacturing project, investment value north of $1 billion, large number of employees. A good company.
Grant Tenniel says he's pleased that by giving a hint in a joint session Tuesday, the governor recognized the hard work that's been put into getting what is expected to be a major employer. The governor also told reporters this week Arkansas is not competing with any other states in regard to the project, as some media outlets have suggested.
The Legislative Joint Budget Committee wants to hold off on giving state judges and prosecutors cost of living raises. The committee, made up of House and Senate members, decides on appropriations and the budget. Democratic Senator Larry Teague, a co-chairman of the committee, says the decision doesn't mean the judiciary won't see a raise, just a postponement.
It's early in the game, and nobody wants to deal with it today. I think it's got to be dealt with, but hopefully we'll deal with it with all positions. We're about to have 200 agency bills with 2% built in. I don't believe we have any intention of taking those out.
Joint budget advanced the General Appropriations Act yesterday. It's the first budget bill required to be passed by the state constitution and sets the budget, including salaries, for the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of state government. No raises were approved for legislators or the executive branch.
An anti-abortion group says it's working with state lawmakers on three bills that will be introduced this legislative session. Rose Mims of Arkansas Right to Life says the organization is supporting a bill to require doctors to see patients in person before prescribing the RU486 pill. She says in order to prevent what she terms webcam abortions.
And in rural Arkansas, we don't want our young mothers going through this chemical abortion procedure with no help out there available for them. And so we want to be able to stop them from doing that. It's dangerous.
Abortion rights groups in other states where similar laws have been proposed say it is an unnecessary ban. Arkansas Right to Life says it's also working on bills to block abortion-related coverage available through the federal health care law and to ban abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
At least one state lawmaker from Northwest Arkansas is in favor of giving some of the state's $300 million budget surplus to higher education. Senator John Woods from Springdale says after the funding gap in the state's Medicaid system is taken care of, roughly $150 million will be left of the surplus.
I think that higher ed, you know, you've got a lot of college students that want to go to school. The lottery scholarship only brings in so much money, but we have a much larger demand than the money that we have. And also there's a lot of individuals that would love teaching jobs at the universities and the community college if we had the funding to hire them because, you know, we do have a lot of students and the demand for teachers is there, but we got to pay them.
Woods says with high demand for college degrees, capping enrollment at universities is the last thing the state needs. And part of the surplus could be set aside as scholarship money for non-traditional students.
Following President Obama's announcement of a $500 million plan to reduce gun violence in the country, two members of Arkansas's congressional delegation have issued statements of their own. U.S. Senator John Bozeman yesterday issued a response to the president's series of executive actions, saying the president's statements touched on some areas of common ground, but, quote, ultimately, his plans rely too strongly on the failed gun control ideas of the past. Senator Bozeman continued by saying the president's push to reinstate the assault weapons ban and to limit ammunition is misguided. According to the senator's statement, he is in the camp that is in favor of stricter enforcement of existing laws instead of enacting new ones. 3rd Congressional District Representative Steve Womack similarly issued a statement about the president's actions yesterday. According to his statement, the congressman says limiting Second Amendment rights for law-abiding citizens is not the appropriate reaction to senseless acts of violence. Congresswoman Womack says Congress, rather than the president through executive order, should look for ways to protect the people that are in line with preserving constitutional rights.
Drivers who commute between Fort Smith and Van Buren should be aware that construction work on Interstate 540 will soon begin. According to a release by the Arkansas State Highway Transportation Department, the contractor for the project will begin installing advance warning signs for the project, which will stretch between Rogers Avenue and Fort Smith to Interstate 40 in Van Buren. Actual construction on the multi-million-dollar project is set to begin by the end of the month.
It's still winter. Clear tonight. Lows will be in the mid-teens, around 16 for much of northwest Arkansas. Lower to mid-20s tonight in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs will be in the lower to mid-50s throughout the region. And for Friday night, clear. Not as cold. Lows around 30. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Most area colleges and universities are in the middle of the first week of the spring semester. At the University of Arkansas Fort Smith, the campus is engaged this semester in its third edition of a project titled Read This, an effort to bring campus and community together by reading the same book. Dr. Joe Harden is the dean of the College of Languages and Communications. He says his college is the obvious nexus between the school and the surrounding community.
It's the place where literacy is taught. It's the place, everybody has to take English. And everyone continues to use those skills that they learn in English no matter what field they go into, whether that's business or medicine or whatever. So I was looking for a way to kind of connect the community with the students, with the faculty, and this common book idea was an obvious solution, something that we could share as we were working in our classes. We could share this with the community.
2 years ago, the first Read This selection was True Grit, the novel by Arkansas native Charles Portis that is partially set in Fort Smith. Dr. Keith Fudge, an associate professor of English at UAFS, says the response to that selection was fine, but primarily local. Last year, the book was The Sunflower by Simon Wiesenthal, a meditation on the powers and limits of forgiveness. And the program included a visit by Eva Kaur, a survivor of the Holocaust at Auschwitz. Her talk drew a packed crowd, and this year, Keith Fudge says the book selected, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, has a chance to bridge students, faculty, community in a big way.
When I tell students about it for the first time, in fact, I met my two English 2 composition classes this morning, and I said, and I've got 50 in two classes, and 4 people out of 50 had read it. And the first thing I tell them was, this is going to be unlike anything you've ever read. It's not necessarily a difficult read, but you've got pictures and diagrams and puzzles, and you've got a narrator that's fairly unconventional.
The narrator in Mark Haddon's novel is a 15-year-old boy who approaches the world differently than other people in his life. Never does the author specify his protagonist as a young man with autism or Asperger's syndrome, but many readers and critics make that assumption. The character describes himself as a mathematician with some behavioral difficulties. Certainly, organizers of this year's Read This have planned discussions and other events concerning autism, including an appearance in March by Temple Grandin, a woman with autism regarded as a top researcher and scientist in her field of livestock handling. But Joe Harden, the dean of the College of Languages and Communications, says the book provides an opportunity for expanded conversations.
It's really about otherness. I taught the book this past semester, and my students really could identify with the feeling of not being a part of having trouble fitting in. So it really is a book about what it means to be different. And, of course, everyone feels different kinds of difference. So it really is nice. It gives the students a way to think about what it's, you know, how they fit in with society, how their own eccentricities and ways of doing things can find a place in the world. It's a great book for that.
Keith Fudge has taught the book previously to his classes and says he's had success connecting to students with the book that won the White Bread Book Awards for both the best novel and best book in 2003.
It's real interesting that the character, we see, you know, people react on how the character, Christopher John, relates to the world, but we rarely examine how the world relates to him. It's always he has to conform in a sense rather than the world conforming. And I think that's an overall message of this book. It's okay to be different. You know, it's okay. As far as autism, I mean, we have better diagnosis now. We have different ways of testing. Where it used to be 1 in 300 were affected by autism, now it's as low as 1 in 88, estimates reveal. It's relevant. You rarely run into anyone now who isn't touched by, you know, by autism in some way, someone they know, family, friends, relatives, whatever, you know. So it's timely, and it brings a lot of people together.
Bringing people together is one of the goals for this exercise in reading. While the explosion of available media has diminished the chances of wide shared experiences, Super Bowls, Olympics, and presidential elections the notable exceptions, organizers of Read This say there is still great value in being able to discuss with a friend, an acquaintance, or even a stranger a similar reading involvement. Again, Dean Joe Harden.
It's funny. When we were doing True Grit, I was in a doctor's office talking to a doctor, and I was interested, of course, in what I was talking about in my medical issues. And the doctor said, when he found out I was an English professor, he said, I wish I could read like an English professor. You know, I love to read, but I don't know how to get in there and take the book apart like English professors do. And I think that actually people do know how to do that. And this is a kind of attempt to bring everybody together to have those kinds of discussions. People want to be able to read and talk about books this way. I think they still do.
Events scheduled in conjunction with the 2013 version of Read This will take place on campus and off at libraries, schools, bookstores, and churches. March 4th, there will be a pair of screenings of the movie based on Temple Grandin's life, and she'll speak on March 11th at 5:30 p.m. That talk will be free, but tickets will be required for entry and can be picked up at the Stubblefield Center box office on the UAFS campus. Keith Fudge will be concentrating on his classes, obviously, with the book, but give him enough time and he'll explain his passion for the novel and why he thinks it's worth being on anybody's nightstand.
They get a narrator, and I'm going to go back to that and beat that up a little bit, that they're not used to, in the simple fact that he is unemotional. For the most part, he's very objective. He tells you that he doesn't get jokes. This is not a funny book. This is, you know, I don't understand jokes. I cannot tell a lie. He doesn't lie. He doesn't understand jokes. You get this very sort of objective, detached honesty in this narrator that doesn't come through in other narrators. There's no bias here. There is none. He's simply reporting the facts, and he's putting it out there for you as a reader to understand. And I think that's an honesty that readers don't see in a lot of other novels, the majority of novels.
The launch for this year's Read This is scheduled for January 28th from noon until 1:30 on campus in the Reynolds Room of the Campus Center. And you can find out more about the events and the book at the UAFS Read This Facebook page.
I'm Ophira Eisenberg, host of Ask Me Another, and I like to think I know a little something about how to make people laugh. But these clowns will stop at nothing.
He licked her.
Oh, clowns. From the Big Apple Circus, it's the Acrobufos. Next time on Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Game on.
Ask Me Another is the latest addition to KUAF's Saturday lineup. You can hear it Saturday morning at 11, right after the What Do You Know Hour with Michael Feldman. In a bit on this program, a return to the Furman Garner Performance Studio for a live music collaboration between R.J. Mischow, Corey Montgomery, and friends. Those two musicians will be playing Saturday night at the Metro in Bentonville with Garrett Jones and Ken Everts. But first, we'll have them here. That's in about 15 minutes or so on Ozarks.
So we've been debating at work this week at the station, what constitutes a collection?
You came in early Monday morning and you asked me what makes a collection.
Well, I really think that I have heard something that you only have to have three of something to have a collection.
No one denies that you've heard this.
Right.
We just can't say that that's the official start of a collection.
Right.
And the conversations then went to, well, it has to be intent. It depends what you're putting together.
Right. And you had the point that if you have three, like, Monets or...
I consider that a collection.
That's a collection.
But if I have three coffee mugs...
in my cabinet.
That's just coffee mugs.
Well, I went to an event at the Shiloh Museum for Ozark History in Springdale, and there were people there that had collections. I mean, 2,000 beer bottles from around the world.
Yes.
Over 21 unique accordions. It's a collection.
Yes, it is.
And then there was a man that also had, you remember? Well, I don't know if you remember, but when ice was delivered to homes.
No, I don't remember that. But thank you. But thank you for thinking that. No, I don't remember
but
that.
But this man had all these, you know, all these ice tools.
Right.
Anyways. Well, the following is a collection of sounds and descriptions from collectors at that event. Alan Lord begins, she's the director of the museum, by telling us a little bit about the history of the Cabin Fever Reliever.
We started the Cabin Fever Reliever as our open house, holiday open house, back in 2009. Because in 2008, we had all the roofs off on our building, and we weren't able to do one in December when we had been doing it. So in 2009, we started the Cabin Fever Reliever as a January open house because there's not that much to do in early January, and it's been pretty well attended. We started in 2010 with the collector's edition, we call it, of the Cabin Fever Reliever, and it fits so well into what we do, and it's such a joy. Even if people aren't collectors, to come in and this wide variety of objects that people collect is amazing.
Oh, Mary Quaz. And most of this stuff would have been used for when people cooked at a fireplace. So you had these long tools, long-handled tools, and the heavy pots and things. You would sit over the fire with your pot on it, these trivets. And then these choppers, also are hand-wrought. They're for, like, vegetable choppers, kraut choppers. I don't know the exact dates on these, but they would be, like, 19th century, you know, through 1800s, that period. And they can... I mean, that's what they were doing way back, so it's difficult for me to really date them, but they're early. And you see a few of these pieces are marked by the blacksmith that made them. And like this on this pan, that's a spatula, but that you can tell is an early piece because that was the shape of them when they were early. We really like to look for ones where there's that twisting in the handle or the little curly cues up where they hung them, or, you know, some of these that have little decorations on the shaft.
What I have here is a collection of Volksmarching medals. It's Volksmarching medals.
Okay.
It's an international walking club. There are clubs throughout Europe and also here in the United States. In fact, there's a club in Bentonville. All the little towns in Europe would have a walk, and they used it to raise money and also for tourism. And these are just some of the medals from some of those towns, and you would sign up to go for a walk, and you would go to the town and go and walk for either 10 kilometers or 20 kilometers, so 6 or 12 miles, and you keep track of how many walks you've been on and how many kilometers you've walked, and you send that to the International Society, and then they send you back, they keep track of it for you, and they send you back pins and things like that. And so most of these are from Europe, from about 1977 through 1981. And then I have some ones from the stateside, ones that we went to up until about the 1990s. And then here is the little the walking stick, which I carried through most of the walks. And each little bitty town would have these little shields, and you could put them on your walking stick. Or I think I've got about 25 or 30. And some of them are from different countries. This one one's from Spain. This one's the Leaning Tower of Pisa here on this one.
It was a pottery that was founded by John Frank in 1933. The clay that they use is from Oklahoma and always has been, which makes it pretty well unique. That plus the fact of that and the type of glaze they use, which is called a rutile glaze. The dishware and stuff was very, very popular in the 50s and 60s mainly. Yeah. The easiest way is because it says Francoma on the bottom. It either says Francoma, or if it's a small piece, it will have the initials FP. But they're nearly all marked. Yeah, so you can tell. Probably my favorite piece I will never own. I will never find it. It's bookends, and it's a Cotamundi, which is a little animal, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And no, you can't find it. I've seen one pair.
How many pieces do you have?
There's a club actually up in Bentonville.
Oh, upward of 500. Probably. Pam Redfern.
Thank you, Pam.
Yes, ma'am.
A vibrating apparatus, and it is supposed to cure. You put this part on the body part, like if you have a headache or if you have a pain in your back or whatever, and then this little arm vibrates all the way down, and it's supposed to relieve the pain. These are the education collections here at the Shiloh Museum, or these are part of it, and these are, we have our collections that we preserve, and we also have our collections that we use for education that are hands-on. So these are the things that the kids get to touch that we use for school programs or history camp or that kind of thing.
And your name is?
I'm Pody Gay. I'm the education manager.
My name is Douglas Kidd. I have played with these Joes some 50 years ago, and several of them are the ones that I played with when I was his size. And over the years, I have found them at flea markets, yard sales. Some of my friends that used to have them gave them to me, traded them to me, and I just got enthused on trying to get every one of them that they made. And I'm very close to it. Very few of the very hard to get pieces. There's a blue airplane that I'm missing. G.I. Joe actually made a female nurse to go with them in 1968. I'm missing that. One or two of the vehicles, but I've about got everybody else.
I'm Margaret Snyder. I've been collecting salt and pepper shakers for probably 55 years. The first one I bought was in the Ozarks, and that started my collection. And then I've looked for unusual collections. And I have a cabinet that I store them in, and it got full, so I stopped collecting.
How does the weenie dog work?
Well, I've never used it, but I think you'd have to hold your hand over the back of it for salt, and then hold your hand over the front of it for pepper. And, I've never used it, but interview Carol. She's got a nice collection.
I have a collection of some miniatures that I had, back when we had the little printer cases and the little spaces. I have those. But I love the little chairs, every one of them. But I just like them because of the look of them.
How many do you have?
I counted more than I thought. I think I have over 50. And a couple, that's not too bad. And a couple of little stools, and then a couple of tables. But I like the ones that were handmade maybe for a little girl. And then today, one of the other exhibitors brought me this because she heard that I was coming. And this is a chair in a bottle. So she wanted me to have it. I thought that was awful sweet.
Support for KUAF comes from George's Majestic Lounge and Fayetteville Roots, presenting bluegrass recording artist The Steel Wheels with Three Penny Acre next Tuesday, January 22nd. Doors open at 7, with the show beginning at 8. Limited table seating is available. George'sMajesticLounge.com for tickets or more information.
It's Thursday, January 17th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us is Becca Martin Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I've covered a lot of art exhibits in more years than we're going to discuss.
Okay.
I'm excited about this one because I learned cool stuff.
Okay.
It's called Arkansas's Champion Trees, An Artist's Journey. And it's colored pencil drawings by a Hot Springs artist named Linda Williams Palmer. It opens today at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville. What was fun for me talking to her is that she's been all over Arkansas finding these trees that are designated champion trees because they're the biggest, they have the biggest canopy,
and
they're tallest,
the biggest around.
And they're the biggest around.
There are a couple in a veteran on the trail around Veterans Park in Fayetteville. And they'll be designated.
Right.
You walk up to them and they say this is a champion maple or whatever.
And there are at least two and maybe three on the grounds of Crystal Bridges. There's one at the Confederate Cemetery in Fayetteville.
That's right.
But she's been all over the state. She has braved snakes and people that didn't want her on their property because some people want them recorded, but they don't want the public to come. Mm-hmm. She's heard stories about how the stagecoach stopped there. And each of her drawings has a close-up of the leaves. It has a photograph. And then it has a little bit about the history of the tree if they know it. I talked to somebody at the Forestry Service who keeps this list. And they have no idea how to tell how old these trees are because species vary so widely. Mm-hmm. And the only way to find out is core of the tree, which then opens the tree up to insects and disease and bad idea. But they do sometimes find them in old maps and in old aerial photos. And they're all obviously old, old trees. So this is a really interesting exhibit. It'll be at the Botanical Garden through February 9th, and it's $5 admission for adults. Also tonight for free, Free Flicks Before 6 at the Fayetteville Public Library, Snow White and the Huntsman, which I haven't seen and want to. If you love trains, the Railway Society meets tonight at 7 at the Shiloh Museum in Springdale.
What do they do?
They talk about, a lot of them travel to see trains.
Okay.
We're talking about real trains, not model trains.
Right. I got that.
And so a lot of them travel to see trains, ride trains, talk about historic trains.
Gotcha.
A lot of fun. And there's an author talk tonight with Kevin Jones, who has done the Fort Smith version of Arcadia Publishing's photo books.
Postcards.
This one is postcards.
Right.
And he is speaking at 7 o'clock at the Fort Smith Museum of History. And one of the things I'm interested in is, if you do a postcard book, how does what you see in the images differ? I think that's an interesting...
Oh, you mean now?
No, I mean,
or differ from
just random photographs.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
How were things chosen for postcards, and what does that say about
are they real? Or is it
versus just random photos?
Because often a postcard was sort of a chamber of commerce sort of thing. Like, you should come to Fort Smith, or you should come to Siloam Springs because we have this lake, or we have this modern convenience,
or silliness like Brooks Blevins captured in the Arkansas exhibit.
Right.
So it should be a very interesting chance to meet him and see his book.
That's tonight?
Tonight at 7 at the Fort Smith Museum of History.
Free?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
The world recoiled after brutal attacks on women in New Delhi and Steubenville, Ohio. As those stories continue to unfold, it's critical to step back and figure out what we know about rape. I'm Neil Conan. Who carries out rapes? What happens to the victims? And why is this crime so often uninvestigated? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation, just ahead at 1 o'clock here on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
We are inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and we are fortunate to have a gathering of musicians that has, have you, the four of you, played together before?
Not all at the same time.
Yeah. the voice you just heard is R.J. Michaud, and R.J.?
R.J. Well, sure, we've all played together. I'm sorry.
You've been in,
we've
but
all
never...
played together in different combinations, but not this combination all at the same time.
R.J., you and Corey and Garrett, and along with Ken Everts, will be at the Metro on Saturday the 19th, right?
Correct.
Now, has that ensemble been together before?
This will be the debut.
What is it like when you, I mean, you all know each other, you've played together in various sorts of ensembles and various groupings. Is it just like this comfortable language that you all have?
I would say absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, I mean, all these guys have worked with me on my gigs, so they all kind of know my body language and how I conduct on the bandstand, so it will work fine.
What's an example of your body language?
Just kind of tapping the foot and just different movements, hand signals, kind of call out changes and that kind of thing, and kind of feel.
So a set list? Do you have a set list for Saturday night, or do you kind of do that by feel as well?
My set list is usually I just start playing, and then I kind of figure out what to sing depending on the tempo. We went over this before.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But not everybody heard that.
I didn't hear it.
Let's see. Rogers native. Corey, you're a...
Rogers native.
Rogers native. Austin native, Johnny? Yeah? And then RJ, Minnesota.
Correct.
Whereabouts in Minnesota?
Minneapolis, Twin Cities.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what would you like to play for us?
Key of G.
Okay.
My favorite song.
Take your time, fellas. I'm telling everybody I ain't fattening no more, not fattening no more frogs or snakes. I found my first downfall back in 1978. First downfall, I showed you back in 1978. I'm telling everybody, ooh, I ain't fattening no more frogs for snakes. Oh, let's bring it down for Corey.
a young man, Corey Montgomery. Fellas, can you bring it way down? Can you bring it way down? Full of snakes.
Oh, that was great.
It was great. Key of G, my new favorite song. I was listening and I noticed that you don't even, you not only give body language clues, but you also give verbal clues, but they just seem to go right in with the song.
Well, good. I mean, it's all real spontaneous. It's just from years of loving the music.
And Corey, you were going to do one too, is that correct or no?
Yeah, sure.
Come on, Corey.
Okay.
All right. Key of A. I see that living in these days since you put it on the poster. Sorry to switch it up on you, RJ.
It's all right.
Something higher, living in these days, living in these days.
living these days.
Thank you very much. Great.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in. We should tell people that they can go to rjblues.com, correct? That's your website. GarrettJonesMusic.com. Corey?
CoreyMontgomery.com.
Johnny?
Just Johnny.
Walk around. You'll
just call me.
Just call him. All right. RJ, Corey, and Garrett will be with Ken Everts at the Metro on Saturday the 19th, beginning at 8:30. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF, that was RJ Michaud, harmonica and vocals on the first song, Corey Montgomery on guitar and vocals for the second song,
plus Garrett Jones on bass and Johnny Arredondo on drums. RJ, Garrett, and Corey will play with drummer Ken Everts at the Metro in Bentonville Saturday night beginning at 7:30. Thanks for Johnny for sticking around that day to play drums with them, by the way.
I think RJ kind of pulled him in.
But he and Garrett said yes, yeah. And we appreciated it very much.
Yes.
Tickets, by the way, for Saturday night's 7:30 show are $7. This is Ozarks at Large. It's what, Thursday, January 17th, 2013? I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us is Jody Beznoska, Vice President for Communications at Walden Arts Center.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
It is a very happy Thursday, because you know why?
Why? The sun is out?
The sun is out, and tomorrow's Friday.
That's true.
I'm very happy about that.
You've got some dancing going on.
Yeah, we do. It's kind of a neat week for us. We have a company called ODC Dance coming in, and they've actually been here for a couple of days now, and I just learned yesterday why they've been here for a couple of days, and it's because they have some, first they have to rehearse for their show, but they also have, I think it's about 10 students from the new school in Fayetteville who are going to be performing with them.
In the Velveteen Rabbit,
In the
right?
Velveteen Rabbit,
so
yes.
They're teaching them the, mm-hmm. the moves.
Yeah, and I learned yesterday that it's real dance. The kids are involved in lifts. Mm. They're really, you know, they're not just props on the stage to look cute. They're actually really much a part of the show. And I also learned that a couple of those kids will be participating in the show in the evening as well.
Oh, wow.
So just to remind everybody, we have the Velveteen Rabbit, a dance version of the Velveteen Rabbit with local kids. I think that's a 2:00 show on Saturday. That's the 19th. And then that evening at 8:00 in Star Theater, we have a smaller show with the ODC Dance Company. That's not a kids show. There might be kids in it, but it's a right. dance show. So that's going to be a really fun evening, a fun day actually of two very different kinds of storytelling. You know, storytelling of a classic children's tale in the morning, and then sort of storytelling of how dance gets built in the evening. So that's Saturday. And then I'm looking at my calendar here, and I kind of can't believe that there's nothing on it until Sona, their second Masterworks concert on January 26th.
A week from this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And I believe their soloist is a pianist, right?
Yes, who I believe this is
the second time they tried to have her.
Right. She sustained a finger injury mm-hmm. last year and could not perform.
Right. But she's back and yes. she's doing this show. So that is a full week later. I believe that's a Saturday as well, January 26th.
That's correct.
And then we have Memphis in February. So looking forward to that show. That's the all-original Broadway musical. Very different from Catch Me If You Can. If anyone out there saw Catch Me If You Can, Christina saw it.
Yeah.
It's a much different, it's still a Broadway show, but I think it has a little bit more of a message, a little bit deeper of a story behind it.
And different music.
Very different yeah. music. Original mm-hmm. music, right. But different style, fueled mm-hmm. by jazz and blues and the music of the 50s. So pretty, I'm really excited for Memphis. I really been looking forward to it since we saw it in New York 2 or 3 years ago. So very, very excited for that. And then on the 14th, Theater Squared will begin their new show, The Sons of the Prophet.
That's right.
Starts on the 14th of February and runs through March 3rd. And then, I have to make sure I tell everybody about this one, because if you know anybody, or if you have read yourself, or if your kids have read the Harry Potter books, we have a show coming in the middle of February that you must come to. It's called Potted Potter.
I saw the poster for it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, there's the complete works of William Shakespeare
yes.
abridged. There's
yes.
every Christmas story ever told.
Yes.
And some others. And so this is in that vein. They're going to cram all the Harry Potter
yes.
stuff.
All seven.
All yeah. seven books into 70 minutes. And you're absolutely right when you say it's similar to Rudyard Shakespeare or Every Christmas Story. It has that feel of, it's not a highly produced, slick show.
But
it
manic has energy.
Big energy, lots of audience interaction. The rumor we hear is that audience members will actually be involved in a Quidditch match. Those who have read Harry Potter will know what that means.
Safe to say, and I'm not saying this because I have not seen nor read any of the Harry Potter.
Aww.
So
that's
kind of
surprising,
okay,
well, actually.
I wouldn't get most of the jokes then, right?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. So if you haven't, if you're like Kyle and you haven't read them, you probably might not get it. I mean, it's going to be
funny.
I know
what Quidditch is.
I don't think they have cliff notes for Harry Potter either.
I don't think so. But we're pretty excited about this one. This is a London company. They played in New York at the New Victory Theater to great reviews and lots of people. And then they're going out on a limited first tour, and we're on it. So we're pretty excited by that. And for those who don't know why it's called Potted Potter, it has to do with the British term. Potted means condensed, small.
Oh.
And so that's what you're going to see. February 16th and 17th. There are four shows, I believe, over the course of that weekend. And then we will have the third show in our jazz series on February 16th, the Grace Kelly Quintet. We'll talk lots more about her because she's
right.
Pretty spectacular.
And pretty young.
On the 19th of February, The Little Prince, another show for kids. And on the 22nd through the 23rd, we'll have Hair, the Broadway musical Hair, the new version of it.
I saw the revival in New York.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
It's fantastic.
I like it. Yeah.
Will there be partial
nudity? Yes.
Partial nudity?
Yes, there
yeah.
will. Yes. It's very short and it's very tastefully done. But yes, that does happen. I mean, that's part of the show.
Right.
And so if that's, you know, just know that as you book your tickets. However, there is a fabulous, fabulous thing that happens at the end. Christina, did you do it? Did you go up on stage?
I did not go up on stage.
I did.
No.
At the end, they invite you up on stage to dance. And
everybody?
Everyone who wants to come up can dance with them. And then let's just look quickly ahead into some stuff coming up in March.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mary Chapin Carpenter and Sean Colvin on March 2nd. That's a new addition to the season that we just added, I think, a couple weeks ago. I also wanted to remind the classical music listeners out there that we have Sir James Galway and Lady Jane, his wife, they're coming on March 14th. He's of course, the flautist. Is it flautist? Is that what
we
you say?
We say flutist. I mean, flautist.
And you've heard him play. I mean, he's famous, of course, but you've also heard him play in a lot of movies. You hear that sound. You know that sound of his. And we will also, NPR fans, Garrison Keillor is coming.
That's correct.
He's coming on March 28th. I will warn you, those tickets are going pretty quickly.
I'm not surprised.
So get those ahead of time if you're a big fan and you want to come. We just learned yesterday that he's going to have all kinds of musicians with him. So it's going to be a musical evening more than the – I think the last time he was here, it was very much a conversational storytelling.
Right.
This time he's going to have music, so that'll be really fun. And then I wanted to get Anything Goes on everyone's calendar. That is all the way ahead in April, but we all know how fast time goes. And Anything Goes is from the 9th through the 14th. It's the touring version of the Tony-winning show. It's glorious, beautiful. It's actually produced by one of the few nonprofit Broadway theater companies.
So there's your winter and part of your spring out there. How do people find out more about this?
They go to waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600 and give us a call. And I also forgot to mention that next week we're opening a new gallery exhibition in the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery. Kathy Thompson's beautiful 20 years exhibition has come down, and now we will have a series of work up by Scott Carroll. And Scott is a local artist.
But this is his first Arkansas exhibit.
That's correct. He has never exhibited anywhere in this state before, so we're pretty proud to have that be the first time. And we have a reception for that on the 22nd of January. I think it's in the evening. Starts about 5 or 5:30.
Yeah. We're scheduled to talk this afternoon.
Oh, great.
As he's hanging this exhibit.
Yeah.
And hopefully, all things work out. You'll hear that conversation tomorrow.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Lots of things to look forward to.
Yep.
Thank you, Jody. Jody Besnoska is Vice President for Communications at Walton Arts Center.
KUAF is supported by Arcom Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Arcom Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArcomPrinting.com or 444-7711.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, and Ponca.
I love Ponca.
It's beautiful.
It is. Try to get there at least once a year.
Yep.
And we'll be there again in April. I just absolutely love
I was there
Ponca.
Right before the Christmas, right before the weekend before Christmas.
And you go through Boxley Valley to get there. Mm-hmm. Did you see any elk?
I did see elk.
The last time I went, I was coming back from Ponca, and it was, I don't know, 7:30 in the morning, and there was, you know, 24 elk.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They
I
are.
I don't know if I should say this or not, but the next weekend I was in Chicago and went to a restaurant and actually had elk for dinner.
Well,
but
there you go. Let's see. Yesterday on the program, Antoinette Grajeda had a question because we were giving away a pair of tickets to see Steel Wheels and Three Penny Acre at George's Tuesday night. That's this coming Tuesday night. And we have two more ticket pairs to give away. But first, let's answer yesterday's question. She was inspired by the fact that the coach of the Boston Celtics would be coaching an NBA game against the team that his son played for, Doc Rivers and his son. And she said,
sports.
What's that?
I said, you guys in your sports.
Well, and she mentioned that of all the times that fathers and sons have opposed each other, one includes a very good Arkansas connection in 2000. And what was it? And the answer is, in November of 2000, Nolan Richardson, who was then the coach at the University of Arkansas, coached against his son, the late Nolan Richardson III, who had just been named head coach of Tennessee State. That game was at Bud Walton Arena. Arkansas won the game 90-68. All right, final two tickets now, final two pairs of tickets to give away for Three Penny Acre, Steel Wheels. Steel Wheels last year when they did our live show.
And so much fun.
So much
I
fun.
Really kind of fell in love with this group.
And Three Penny Acre, of course, much beloved around here. Rumor has it they'll be on Saturday night's edition of The Pick and Post with Mike Cherkey. So tune into that Saturday night at 7. All right, so two more tickets. The last two pairs we have to give away to the Steel Wheels Three Penny Acre show. Here's a question. William R. King, John C. Breckinridge, and Hannibal Hamlin were the 14th, 15th, and 16th what, respectively? William R. King, John C. Breckinridge, Hannibal Hamlin. Got a guess? Send us an email. ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. Any idea?
I have no idea. I mean, I know Breckinridge is a ski resort town in Colorado, and Hannibal? Well, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking. So it's William R. King, John C. Breckinridge, and Hannibal Hamlin with a 14th, 15th, and 16th what, respectively. ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. All correct answers will go into the ceramic cow, and we'll pull the last two winners for the Three Penny Acre and Steel Wheel tickets. But we do have tickets for the next Sona concert that we'll start giving away tomorrow on
All
Ozarks
right.
at Large.
Are you going to Ralphie May tonight?
I am not.
Okay.
I am not.
I really wanted to, but I hear
it's sold out.
Sold out.
That's a nice problem to have for the venue.
Yeah.
But no, great interview with him the other day mm-hmm. with Antoinette. Ozarks at Large, who will be with me tomorrow. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellum.
I'm Christina Thomas.
You and I back together Sunday morning for weekend mm-hmm. Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you. Happy Thursday.